It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, August 12th. I'm Patricia Naft. Authorities identified a body found in a culvert in Grand Junction over the weekend. The Mesa County Coroner's Office says 52-year-old Christopher Seep is the man police found in Indian Wash under I-70 on Sunday. Family reported him missing in early July. An official cause of death hasn't been released, but the coroner's office says it doesn't appear to be suspicious in nature. San Miguel County got a $330,000 state grant to improve regional broadband access. The grant comes from the Colorado Department of Local Affairs. The funds will go towards activating existing fiber optic cable that runs between Nucla and Norwood. San Miguel County Administrator Lynn Black says the Paradox Community Trust acquired rights to lease fiber that runs along Tri-State's transmission line.
And the county's part of the match is we will buy the equipment to light it up.
Black says the county hopes it can attract internet service providers to use the line and offer faster and cheaper internet to the area.
We have a real problem in San Miguel County in that large portions of our county are still on dial-up.
The next hurdle is getting property owners with land where the cable is buried to sign easements to allow for commercial use. Once that's taken care of, Black says Norwood could have high-speed internet in a matter of weeks. She says the county also plans to go after a second grant to improve broadband in Telluride, Mountain Village, and Ophir. Two men from Mesa County were arrested after the discovery of two large-scale marijuana grow operations. KVNF's Jake Ryan reports.
Yu Zhou Xiang and Yu Ji Sheng were arrested over the weekend after police discovered two marijuana grow operations, one in Fruitvale and the other in Grand Junction. The residence in Fruitvale was an empty house that was about to foreclose and go into auction in October. Sunday night, officers responded to a burglary call at the residence and found Yu Ji Sheng there with hundreds of marijuana plants. He is also alleged to have torn down a wall in the house to expand the grow operation. The house in Grand Junction also had over 100 plants. Both men had applied for a medical marijuana card and had doctors' recommendations to grow up to 99 plants. They were arrested without incident and posted bail. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Yesterday morning, Montrose County conducted a full-scale emergency exercise at the Montrose Regional Airport. Don Angel, the county's emergency manager, says the activity occurs every 3 years. He says this year it involved 15 agencies and more than 100 people.
We did a triennial full-scale exercise involving 15 agencies and 103 people to test our abilities to respond safe, fast, and effective in the event of an airline or an aircraft incident.
Angel says he thinks the event went over well.
We did find some deficiencies, which is why we conduct the drills and exercises, so that when a real event occurs, we can be better prepared. Some of the weaknesses involve some of our communication links and abilities, and we have identified some areas that will have improvement.
The Gold King Mine wastewater spill is still causing problems for communities along the Animas River and downstream users. Last week, EPA workers accidentally caused the spill while investigating contamination at the abandoned mine. They breached a dam and sent an estimated 3 million gallons of toxic water into a tributary of the Animas River. Laura Pomisano spoke to Jonathan Thompson, a senior editor for High Country News. He lives in Durango and is reporting on the spill.
Governor John Hickenlooper held a press conference in Durango about the spill. What did he have to say about it?
He expressed optimism based on what he had seen from what the EPA had supplied him as far as samples from the river. He expressed optimism that the river would be back to pre-spill levels of metals and acidity and all that sort of stuff fairly soon, which hopefully means he'll be able to open the river soon. He also expressed that his initial reaction to the EPA was rather emphatic as far as his disappointment went with what they did in their role in this whole thing. But he seems to have calmed down a little bit and is in favor of their efforts to try to clean up this problem in the long term.
The Animas River is closely tied to the city of Durango. It runs right through it and provides water to the community. What's been the impact of this event to Durango and other communities in the area?
It's been a big blow to Durango because, as you said, the river runs right through the town. It's an economic engine for our town because the rafting industry is pretty big here, and so is there's fly fishermen and guides and that sort of thing. And it's also kind of, not only does it run through town, but it's the centerpiece of town. There's a park all along it and a bike path. And on any given day, especially like now when it's hot and the river's kind of low, you'll see hundreds of people floating down that river. And now it's empty. And that's a heartbreaking thing to see. As far as drinking water goes, our town decided a long time ago to switch its main source to another stream nearby because of mining impacts to the Animas. And so it's not a big blow to us. We do get some of our drinking water and irrigation water out of the Animas for the town. But at this point, we're not feeling the impacts or feeling any kind of shortages in town. Downstream communities, it's a different story. Some of those communities in New Mexico, for example, do get most of their drinking water out of the Animas. And so they have storage, but it's only going to last so long. And a really big impact, probably mostly downstream, is to agriculture. Because as the plume moved through, they shut the river down to everybody, shut down all the edge gates and the irrigation ditches. And so a lot of crops down there just aren't getting any water.
What's been the EPA's response at the ground level to the spill?
There's sort of two different kinds of responses going on. One is going on up at the mine itself that spilled. And up there, what they're doing is they've put in lagoons that capture the water as it flows out of the mine. And it's flowing out now at, I think I heard, around 300 gallons per minute. And it will continue to do so for probably perpetuity until something can be done about it. So this water is flowing out of the mine. They're putting into these lagoons, they're adding flocculants, which causes the sediment to bunch up and fall to the ground so you don't get that sludge in there. They're also putting a caustic soda in there to raise the pH level, that is, lower the acidity so that the dissolved metals will fall out of solution as well, and so that the water that comes out of those lagoons into the creek is relatively clean and pretty good. They're going to have to figure out a long-term solution to that as well, and I'm not sure what that's going to be yet. As far as here in Durango and as far as sort of the PR campaign that they're doing and the other things they're doing is they're sampling the water. They're updating the community regularly. You know, there's a lot of frustration, I think, with how slowly data is coming in and how little context and explanation there is with that data. So they'll give us the raw data about how much metals are in the river, but they won't tell us really what it means or whether it's safe or not or that sort of thing.
Thank you for your time, Jonathan.
Well, thank you.
That was Jonathan Thompson, a senior editor for High Country News, speaking to KVNF's Laura Pomisano. Stay tuned for Jeff and the Wednesday morning music mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.